Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Tank Sinatra.
And I'm Investigator Slater.
And together we co-host a podcast called Psychopedia, which is a true crime podcast infused with comedy, making it a crimedy. Each week, Investigator Slater brings us a wild and thoroughly researched true crime case. I'm here to digest it all and react just like you probably are right there on the other side of the microphone.
Somehow, I've got to present each case with the detail and respect it deserves, while also cracking up at Tank's perfectly timed humor and thought-provoking questions.
Listen to and follow Psychopedia on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And that's Dennis Howland. He's one of the employee owners of Tab. He comes in and helps me out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. Another beautiful Saturday here in southern New England. So we wouldn't blame you if you're outside, but you get a couple of pasty white computer geeks that are here to help you out with your computer problems, questions, and concerns. No matter where you are in the country, 860-522-WTIC is the number. We are also broadcasting over on the old Facebook page. They're over in the Computer Talk with Tab Listener Network. It's a private group. You can join. It's like the old forums. We figured we kind of put it over there, and you guys can help each other out, too. A lot of action on the Facebook forums there for people helping out. Dennis is very active out there. You're helping people out. It's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, it is a little bit of fun.
The questions are crazy. So we're going to be here till 11, so get online, 860-522-9842. And as usual and customary, Dennis, we got some news they want to maybe use or be worried about. Usually the news we have is never good when it comes to IT. It's never like, hey, we've got some great breakthrough in IT where it's going to save your life. No, we never give you that.
No, unfortunately. This is one where I think it's possible that a majority of the people in our listening audience are affected.
Oh, boy.
It is a breach that occurred at Ticketmaster.
Oh, the Ticketmaster that our attorney general is going after.
Yeah. So not only is the attorney general going after them, it sounds like the bad guys went after them, too.
Oh, wow.
And it breached something like 550 million people's data.
Yep.
And it's a lot of data. How many terabytes?
1.3 terabytes.
Oh, that's a big chunk of data.
Yeah.
And one of the issues here is that the data was being offered for sale on dark websites.
Right.
A week ago?
Yep.
Oh, yeah. And Ticketmaster was just dead silent.
Right.
Not a word.
Crickets.
Nothing. And they wouldn't even admit to it. Even though people are posting screenshots of the data and where it came from and that's for sale. And they're just, but finally they did admit that they were breached.
Right.
Finally.
Yeah, finally. And then they could, of course, you know, buy all their data and the bad guys would pinky swear not to use it. Right. Ticketmaster. Well, they charge you so much in fees to buy a ticket for anything. They should have this chump change to pay off the bad guys.
Yeah.
But it's not good. Again, this type of stuff is used to, again, trick you, right? So you're going to – they basically – the data they swiped includes your name, your email address, your phone number, and your physical address, as well as an order as far as the info and credit card details, specifically the last four digits of your card. So now the bad guys can take all that information and just ask ChatGPT to compile a fraudulent – email to you about how they're going to trick you into whatever they're going to try to do, right? They have all this information on you that looks legit. Stick some logos on an email and all of a sudden now you're a bad guy, right?
Yep.
And you can go buy this or have access to this data. There's all sorts of breach forms out there that actually the FBI thought they brought one down and it's back up already, where all the data is out there on the dark web. And again, the dark web is just technically the web, as far as I'm concerned, is dark period.
Oh, yes, I would say so.
But the dark web is the bad guys areas of the interwebs there out there. And you can log in and be a, you know, go ahead and pay for this data very cheaply. You know, they'll take your credit card, PayPal, whatever it will be, and send you a chunk of this, and you can be a bad guy too. So it's just crazy. So, I mean, nobody's shedding a tear for Ticketmaster. It's ridiculous what they charge for tickets, and I'm looking forward to if there is actually something that happens with this as far as breaking them up as the monopoly that they are. But should scalping, when I was a kid, scalping was definitely something you couldn't do, right?
Right.
You couldn't even sell a ticket for $5 more than you bought it for, or a cop on the street would bust you.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Not that I've ever done that. Really, I haven't. I swear. But this is like legal scalping. I mean, it's crazy what they charge. And then the convenience fee. It's like, oh, thank you. May I have another?
What?
Right? Give you a convenience fee. This is just a...
Sometimes I think the old days when you would walk up to the counter at Strawberry's and buy tickets was better.
Right. Right. And when they would not rip you off. You'd pay pretty much face value.
Right. You put your money across the counter, you get your tickets. You didn't they didn't take your money and then say, yeah, we need another five. Right. And now that you gave me the five, we need another 10.
Right.
And that's what they do on the websites.
So it's crazy out there. In other news, Chinese nationals are cuffed on charges of likely running the world's largest botnet ever.
World's largest?
Yeah, Guinness Book record, I bet.
Whoa.
The DOJ says 9/11 S5 crew earned $100 million from having 19 million PCs pawned by fake VPNs. Yes,
what?
Guys. When you're getting a free
VPN.
When you get a free VPN, it may not quite be from a reputable provider.
Oh.
200.
Wait, are you telling me that people actually download, install, and run free VPN software?
They seem to quite often, yes.
Oh.
200 countries were impacted. And basically, if you're part of a botnet.
That would be like every country, wouldn't it?
Yeah, yes, you're right. I never did the math. If you're part of a botnet, so what's a botnet? We've talked about botnets before. And basically, your computer, you know, it's called Pond here. You're owned. You actually are just a zombie to a command and control computer. And this guy, what's his name? I don't even know his name yet. I got to find it. Yanni Zhang. I'm not really sure I'm saying that right. Ji-Ping Lui and Yanni Zhang can now take your computer and they can tell it to go attack a target.
Right.
So let's say the target is Citibank. And the guy says, hey, Citibank, pay me $100,000 or I'm going to bring down your internet, your web pages. And then if they don't, then they go ahead and send 19 million PCs to go and try to access Citibank's site, which is a denial of service attack. Right.
Yeah.
And so these botnets can be used for all sorts of things like this. And that's kind of what these guys did. So the world's largest botnet, the guy went out there and bought Ferraris and BMW i8s and Rolls Royces and basically just used his PCs to do whatever he wanted.
Right, and I think they hired out too.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And that's how they were making all their money.
That's part of it, yeah. He faces 65 years in prison if convicted on charges of conspiracy to commit computer fraud, substantive computer fraud, conspiracy to commit wire fraud, conspiracy to commit money laundering, and the DOJ revealed it has recovered around $60 million. That's nice. That's good. And it's taken control of 23 domains and over 70 servers. So he's facing 65 years. I would love to see him get 65 years.
Like that's going to happen.
Why have a penalty if you're not going to employ it?
Right.
These guys really deserve it. So here's the thing. Here are the services that people signed up for. The botnet operated, according to the team, the botnets operated by offering, a paid VPN service for customers. So it's actually, you paid for it. One that opened a back door into their machines for illicit use. The named services were Mask VPN, Do VPN, Paladin VPN. I was always a Paladin when I played Dungeons & Dragons.
Yeah, yeah.
ProxyGate, Shield VPN and Shine VPN. So they actually, on top of it, they charge you.
What?
Oh, you can't make it up. I thought it was free. Of course it's free, but no, they actually charged you for it. So we'll put this thing up there. So again, you got to be careful who you do business with, right? I mean, we've talked about some of the, even the antivirus out there. We've talked about Kaspersky, you know, it's a right. Russian antivirus, you know?
Yeah.
Yes, I'm sure that we want them to be legit, but it's Russian antivirus software. You probably shouldn't be using it, Department of Defense, right? You shouldn't be using it.
I don't think they're allowed to.
Well, they were using it.
What, 5 or 6 years ago?
Right. I mean, this is the crazy stuff that goes on, Dennis, you know? So right. Be careful what you're buying, from who you're buying it from, and from where you're getting it, right? So some of you have to be at legit sources and legit companies. And they're only legit until you figure out they're not, right?
Right.
I mean, TikTok is like, oh, hey, wait a minute. That's a Chinese company, huh? Hmm. So we'll put this link up for you guys to read at your leisure. Anything else you want to bring up, Dennis?
Well, I want to bring up an interesting situation with digital rights management.
Oh, yes, DRM.
Yeah. Now, here's the deal.
Yeah.
We had a video gamer.
Yes.
Filmed a video of him playing a game.
Right, which they often do.
This is something that he makes money on. He posts these to
Twitch or YouTube.
Twitch and YouTube.
Yeah.
And he advertises there and he gets a little income from it. Well, all of a sudden, one of his playing videos got demonetized by YouTube.
Wow.
And he found out why.
Mm-hmm.
It's because his washing machine finished a load in the middle of his game.
Right.
And it played in the background of the video.
Right.
It was a Samsung, which has a unique tone that plays.
It's
a little song.
It's a silly little Pied Piper thing that you're listening to your wash being done. Is the wash done? Is what, you know, it's crazy.
Right. Well, that played in the background, and that caused YouTube to demonetize it.
Right.
And it was demonetized because some other guy had recorded
that tune. Right.
From the washing machine, posted it to YouTube already.
Right, and claimed it, right?
And claimed it.
As his own, even though it's not his
song.
Either.
It's not his song either. Matter of fact, the song itself apparently is in public domain because it's a classical tune.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so nobody can really claim rights to it.
So we should play it, Carolyn, coming out of the next bump.
Yeah, let's see if we can
get demonetized.
At any rate, so they demonetize his video.
Amazing.
For that reason. And we are afraid of AI.
Right.
I'm sorry. It's incompetent.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing too, Dennis. I mean, this is like, you think about all the videos that were taken down for all sorts of quote unquote misinformation and all the net neutrality that's out there to try to keep that protected. Yet some ding dong can say, this is my song, and get this other guy demonetized because he happened to have it run.
Well, it wasn't even that the guy that had claimed the song went after this gamer.
No, he was just messing around.
He had just posted the video to YouTube.
Right.
It was YouTube that put two and two together and decided to demonetize that video.
Right. Most likely with AI.
And yeah, it was their own algorithms and AI that made that decision.
Right.
And the guy, that's just stupid.
That's almost as dumb as putting glue on a pizza.
Which Google claims.
Yes.
Oh,
I know.
Yeah,
I saw this. We can talk about that later. We can take a break first. We'll talk about how stupid glue on a pizza is. We talked about it last week, but that's AI for you. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. It will be a benefit in the long run. I hope. I really do hope. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back. Sorta. That's not the one ours does, but it's close, Carolyn. It's like that. The same. I should have my wife play ours, but yeah, it's that's the kind of thing that the Samsung folks play when your laundry's done, and this poor guy is trying to. So just imagine this: the fact that this is even a thing. This guy is on a YouTube channel, and people watch him to play video games. Not only is playing video games a complete waste of time, and I'm also I'm guilty of it. Don't get me wrong, but you actually have the time to watch somebody else play video games. It's amazing.
It's not my thing either. But then again, neither are carpet washing videos.
That's a thing too?
Yeah, I know somebody is obsessed with them.
Oh, we're doomed. We are doomed. Oh, the internet is just going to... I mean, there was such promise when the internet came out, you know?
Yeah, and then the cat videos started coming out.
Carpet washing.
And it's been downhill ever since.
Oh, you're not wrong. All right, speaking of going downhill, that's what the show's doing. Let's try to get it back in the right direction. We're going to go to Daniel in Colchester first. What is happening, Daniel?
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
I have an issue with a tape backup. I bought a 5 terabyte tape backup, and I use it. Actually, it's for an external hard drive to expand on my hard drive, so it's workable. When I move files around or delete something, it freezes up and doesn't work.
The external hard drive does, or the tape backup? I'm misunderstanding. What's going on? You got both things going there?
No, it's an external hard drive.
It's an external hard drive. Okay, so when you're moving files around on the drive, it freezes up?
Yeah, but when I move files from the hard drive, the internal hard drive, the external hard drive, there's no problem. There's no problems opening them, no problem playing music or video files. But when I move them or delete them, it freezes up.
From the external drive only?
Yeah, and not from another external hard drive. I have a 2 terabyte. They're all Seagates. And I don't have the problem. I did change the cords. I use different USB ports. And the computer is only 30 days old. I did reformat the external hard drive. It comes EXFAT.
Yep.
I changed it to the NF.
Yep.
And I still have the issue. It's not partitioned. And the last problem that I had, it was an I/O issue. So I'm thinking it might be a hardware issue.
I would say it's that external drive that's having a problem.
Yeah.
If it's Seagate, there's a piece of software that you can run that will check it, and it will tell you if there is a real problem with the drive. It's called C-Tools, and we can post the link to it.
I do have it. I didn't run it on that. I've used it in the past.
Oh, okay.
The external hard drive is only 30 days old also.
Oh.
I can't return it. I would love to return it, but it is under warranty, and I was thinking of sending it in. When I said a hard drive problem, I did mean a hard drive problem within the external hard drive.
That's what I was thinking. It's that external drive that has an issue, and even if it's new, it can have a defect.
Right.
So,
yeah.
I mean, that's possible, but if you run C-Tools on it, you run a test, and if it's under warranty, it should return a code, and then you would contact Seagate with that code, and they should either repair the drive or probably replace it.
Yeah, I already got the ball rolling on that, so that's we're on the same page anyway. I just was wondering if there was any other thing that I might consider.
Yeah, I mean, there are some things. I mean, you can look at how the caching is configured, whether you enable or disable the write-back caching on the device. Have you checked that?
I did, and I did change it. I changed it so I have to not use the safety button. It has to finish writing, the higher performance one.
Yeah.
Also, I don't remember. It was something else.
Bad sectors. You want to check to see if there's any bad sectors you get a mark on the drive?
I did do a scan disk for one that takes the 24 hours. I had no problem with that after I reformatted it.
All right.
And I run the scan disk every once in a while and optimize it. It does seem to help, but not by much.
Okay. Yeah, you've done the basic checks then. So there's no other computer magic that we would have for you.
Yeah. It really sounds like hardware.
And it happened since day one. You know, that's the thing.
Yeah.
You know. I thought it was because it was large. I know sometimes it takes time to move the files.
Right.
They're large files, some of them, but it shouldn't take, if they freeze up to 20 hours. I waited it out, but nothing.
Wow, you were patient.
A lot more patient than I would be.
I'll let it sit and run to see if it ever clears itself, thinking that something might be, you know, like a cache issue or something like that, you know. But it doesn't seem to be, and it doesn't seem to be an issue with the computer itself.
No, so I think you definitely just got a lemon in this case in that external drive.
Yeah.
Okay, the second thing is we talked about backups before.
Yep.
In Windows backup. I can't use Windows backup at all because all it does is want to sort in the cloud because I have it hooked up to my Outlook.
Mm.
So I'm linking the account to the Windows 11, and it only wants me to back up to the cloud. I don't even have an option to back up to another drive.
Yeah, it's annoying.
I know that Dennis mentioned before about using the one that comes with Seagate, but I think you guys also mentioned another one. I couldn't find
A Cronus. I use a Cronus. That's another one you could look at. But we're coming up against a hard break here, Dan. Is that going to be good for you? We can put a link up there for
that's
a Cronus.
That's all I have. And thank you very much for the service.
You're welcome.
Enjoy the day.
All right. Bye-bye.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And we are here until 11 o'clock on this lovely Saturday morning. And I guess that's a local band that Carolyn likes, Willoway, or A Willoway, or something to that effect. Something about Will. All right, they're very good. So she'll be playing some of their stuff. Let's go to your calls. We're going to go to Wally and Vernon next. What's happening, Wally?
Hey, guys. I'm not calling with a... with a problem, I'm actually calling to thank you for the great advice you gave me on a laptop purchase.
Oh, nice. Oh. Thank you.
I took a flyer on an EliteBook off of eBay that was brand new and ridiculously inexpensive.
Yeah.
And fantastic machine.
Oh, great.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah. I have a question, though, and I know the answer, but why the hell is Adobe Acrobat so expensive?
Yeah, that's a great question.
Because Adobe wants money? I don't have a better answer.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the ticket right there. So, guys, tell me, why should I be running OpenDNS on my computer?
Well, it's not something you run. It's something you configure. But you should be running it and configuring it because it's going to send you down a safer internet, right? So if you think of the internet as a highway, right, and there's exits on the highway that if you just think of a National Lampoon Vacation, Clark took some exits that got him into some bad neighborhoods. Same thing works on the internet. You do not want to find yourself down a bad area of the internet where you've been tricked into going there, and the OpenDNS technology actually will prevent you from being tricked. It won't let you go to that site because it's malicious. So, and you can even do more than just that. If you want to be a parent and you wanted to actually keep your kids off of certain aspects of the internet, you could do that as well. Except that they have a cell phone that's hard to defeat with OpenDNS, but you could at least set different categories of the internet that you're not going to allow them to go to. So it's free. It's run by Cisco. Don't know how they're monetizing us, but it's worth it in this case.
They're monetizing it because it gives them intelligence.
Right.
And they have a security wing that resells that information.
Right, to the corporate side of the equation.
Right, right.
So you should do it.
So is there a link on your website?
Oh, many times.
Oh, yeah. It's there. And Mike G will post it to Facebook again for us.
Okay. All right. So I'll look at it there. Well, guys, thanks again.
All right.
You know, you guys aren't just a pretty face after all, you know?
So. We both have faces for radio, so. Thanks, Wally.
All right. See you guys.
Yeah, bye-bye. Yes. couple of pasty white computer geeks in here doing our best for you. All right, let's go to Mark in Cheshire, who has an open DNS question. Hey, Mark, did we answer your question?
Nope.
Okay.
I actually have something to say, something that happens to me every time I lose my internet.
You get to read a book?
I wanted to say everything's good when the sun is out.
Yes, that is true.
And I want to thank you and Dennis for supplying my entertainment on a Saturday morning. You give out so much information, even when they have a replay, it seems like I'm listening to it for the first time again.
Oh, that's great.
Wow.
So I want to thank you for that.
Our pleasure.
Thank you.
Every time I lose cable,
yep,
I can't connect after they come back on. I have to take it off manual DNS, and open DNS is eliminated when I go to auto. But then it connects. So I have to reinstall open DNS every time I lose cable.
Or reconfigure it, you mean. Yeah, that shouldn't be the case.
No, it shouldn't.
So your DHCP device is your firewall.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
And you've configured OpenDNS on your firewall, or have you only configured it?
No, I did not. It's on the computer.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You can configure the firewall and have it serve you OpenDNS every time to all your devices, rather than just having it set on the computer. The computer, something is happening with what most likely is local IP, local DNS is not correct for him to have to reset it every time. I mean,
yeah,
he might, you know what it is? It's probably a reservation that he doesn't have.
Oh,
right. So the new DNS is set and his IP address is used because you probably have a static IP on your PC. I'm guessing, Mark.
It seems to have started with a new 11 machine. Ever since I've turned that on and installed OpenDNS instantly. Every time a cable goes out, I have to do it.
All right. Well, here's what I think you need to do.
Yep.
Definitely configure OpenDNS on the router or firewall, whichever word you want to use for it, and have the computer get both its IP address and its DNS settings from DHCP.
Does that make any sense?
Can you post something for me?
Yeah, we can do that.
You lost me after DSPS, whatever it was.
No, I know. It's alphabet soup. So basically, you get an address. Your computer gets an address from the firewall, and that's the address it uses to get on the highway, right? So think of it as your license plate for the internet. So you get your license plate, and you get to go on the internet. It gets an address. When you're losing internet, we're thinking that most likely you have set a static IP address, I think, on your PC that you shouldn't have set. You should only set the static DNS IPs. Your basic network IP should be dynamic. You should be accepting them, and I think you're not setting it up correctly. I think you set it statically. I'm guessing you set it statically, and what's happening is when the internet comes back up, that address is maybe being used for something else, and then you're having an IP conflict.
So stay away from static.
Stay away from static unless it's the DNS settings. The DNS settings are the key to this whole thing.
Right.
Okay.
So you can have dynamic.
It goes back to 192 or something. I think that's probably Cox's numbers.
192 is the internal address.
That would be your internal network address.
Right.
That's what shows up instead of open DNS when the cable goes out.
All right.
And I put it back on auto. I got two 192 addresses. Then I put it back in manual when it comes back and reload open DNS configuration.
What's happening is you're putting the wrong things in manual and static, I think.
Right.
That's what I'm guessing.
Yeah, I would say, right, the solution I just offered will fix that for you.
So
everything will be distributed from the router.
Right.
And that is the only place that'll dictate that.
And if the instructions are too much, then just make sure you set your DNS IPs as static, the ones that are going to be the open DNS IPs, which is like, what is it? Bob used to be able to rattle them off. I can't remember them anymore.
208.67.222.222.
Yeah, you guys.
208.67.220.220.
Those two are the DNS that you want to be static. Your actual device itself wants to be dynamic, automatic. All right?
Okay.
All right, Mark. Good luck.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, it's all networking. It's all addressing of devices. I know it sounds complicated, but it's so not complicated. But it is, it'd be like me trying to put together a good soup, right? And some chefs tells me to put some of this in and some of that. And I understand I can't make a good soup no matter how much you tell me to put a pinch of that or a pinch of this in. So we understand. But it really is very basic aspect of networking. And all we're trying to do with OpenDNS is get you down to a safe area of the internet. And it's really a no-brainer. I had three boys living in my home. They're all gone on their own. They all are out. Right, they all got their degrees and they're out, but they were unable to cause any trouble on my network whatsoever, even though they're three boys, except once when I lowered the OpenDNS settings because of a glass of Merlot. My guard was down.
It's always the Merlot, right?
Exactly. My son was trying to do a project. He was looking up Korean baseball players and he couldn't get to the site he wanted to get to. I said, all right, I'll lower the OpenDNS. Instant hit with ransomware or malware instantly. So it's a no-brainer. I mean, if I can survive three boys on my network, you can too. We're going to step out for a quick break. Get back to more of your calls. Four lines wide open, 860-522-9842 is the number. From anywhere you have a cell phone. I think it's not going to cost you anything. I mean, most cell plans now, you can call from anywhere. We'd be happy to take your call. Of course, you can listen to us on the Odyssey app, or you can subscribe to our podcast. And we have over 500 episodes out there. So basically, you could listen to us for, I think, a month straight if you had nothing else to do. We'll be right back. Back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And we got lines open for you guys if you want to get online. Feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. As we wait for your calls. So, Dennis.
Yeah?
I remember TJ came on the show with me. Maybe it was during, we were in the Hermetically Sealed Studios doing our show. We're talking about NFTs.
Oh.
Non-fungible tokens.
Okay.
And so there's a note here now from the Treasury. This was years ago now because COVID was a thing a few years ago. U.S. Treasury says NFTs are highly susceptible to fraud.
What?
You don't say.
Really?
But ignored by high-tier criminals. So in a report published on Wednesday, the Treasury Department concluded that this is something they've taken time to conclude, our Treasury Department. They thought about this.
Really gave it some thought.
Yeah, they applied some bureaucrats to sit down and say, hey, the department concluded that NFTs are highly susceptible to use in frauds and scams. You don't say.
Huh.
And that inadequate cybersecurity and protections on the NFT platforms make it easy for cyber criminals to steal the once popular, ding-a-lings, digital assets. So in addition to their non-zero use as vehicles for fraud and scams like rug pulls when an NFT project suddenly ends and the scammer vanishes with the invested funds, chargeback fraud and market manipulation, the Treasury Department said, NFTs have been frequently observed being used by cyber criminals to launder money. So again, a fool and his money are soon parted, my dad used to say. I think he got that from somebody else. But guys, non-fungible tokens. This is basically a picture, a digital picture. Like there's the more famous ones out there is the apes one. Remember the apes? No, maybe you don't even remember the apes.
Huh.
You don't even remember. We'll put some link up here for you. But basically, these are all now near worthless. Well, just so you know, yeah. Guys, they were worthless to begin with.
Right.
Somebody told you a non-fungible token was worth something, and right. You went and took your actual money and bought a picture of something.
Well, no, they didn't buy the picture.
They bought the rights to the picture.
They didn't even buy the rights to the picture.
Then I don't even know how silly this
NFT.
Is. The NFT. Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. They bought the non-fungible token to the picture.
Associated.
With it. Yes.
That's it.
Right. So if you took a picture of the Eiffel Tower, you could turn that into an NFT and sell the rights to having that picture of the Eiffel Tower.
Yeah, but I don't know if you could enforce that with DRM through Google.
Well, that's the whole thing, right? So thank you, Treasury, for taking your time and effort to mourn us. They feel that they, first and foremost, the Treasury wants authorities, yes, great, to raise awareness among government agencies of their regulatory obligations toward NFTs. And it wants new regulations for NFTs. So this is a bureaucrat report telling you about worthless NFTs and how they want now government regulators, they got nothing else to do, to spend some time putting regulations in place for utterly worthless things. It's our government. Literally, they dig the hole and then they have somebody else fill the hole up and then they dig it again. I mean, unbelievable. So guys, have you heard of Bitcoin?
Right? I don't know if they have.
I don't know if they have either. So Treasury, please take this and do it to Bitcoin. It's the same thing.
Exactly.
And the thing about Bitcoin is it takes a lot of energy and a lot of heat and a lot. I mean, you get the whole country of Belgium in power being used to create the tokens that are out there, the Bitcoin tokens that everyone can create for themselves. Dennis and I are going to make our own coin. Why not?
Yeah.
And, you know, it's guys, hey, Treasury, why don't you tell the authorities about cryptocurrency? Because it's the exact same thing. If you think if you don't think it's just as worthless as an NFT, you're crazy. I was looking up. Did you hear about credit default swaps? Remember those?
Oh, yes, I do.
The Great Recession was caused by credit default swaps.
Yes.
I was just looking this up. You know how many trillions of dollars are still involved in credit default swaps?
I wouldn't even be able to begin to guess.
More than $4 trillion right now is still used in credit default swaps. You want to know what a credit default swap is, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of an insurance.
Yes.
But if they called it insurance, guess what would have to happen, Dennis?
It would have to be regulated.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's, again, the thing that brought down our economy in the Great Recession, a credit default swap, is still out there.
Uh-huh.
Bitcoin, still out there. And the Treasury Department says, hey, you should start regulating non-fungible tokens.
Yeah. I mean, that's the real problem these days, right?
Unbelievable. Yeah. I mean, idiocracy, people. That's where we are. I'll put this link up here for you. You guys can read all about it. Thank you, Treasury, for saving us from non-fungible tokens. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. One more hour of Computer Talk ahead. Four lines open on this gorgeous Saturday morning. If your Samsung wash is done, I want to hear the jingle. Because if it's played during our Facebook show, Zuckerberg's going to demonetize us.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, we're not making any money on it anyway, so go ahead, buddy. We're here. Feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. Everything's been posted over at ComputerTalkWithTab.com. Dennis is working hard here, getting it out there. And then, of course, Mike G is posting everything to the Computer Talk with Tab Listener Network on Facebook. It is a private forum, but you're welcome to ask to join, and we'll let you right in. We'll be right back.